Tom Quirk, Recollections at Lindell, recorded by Anton Thomas and Paul Timewell on the 17th of the 11th, 1995 for the Cumbria Community Trust Mining History Society Archive number A74.
I've got some notes from Mr. Braithwaite.
Oh, Billy. No, Tim, there.
George. George Braithwaite?
There was Billy, that was Billy Eber up there. These were the chaps out of the fitting shop.
Oh, what?
I think he's about the only one still alive. Derek Burns from Askham.
Derek Burns?
Yeah. That was Jackie Burns, the one of the old fitters. I was working with him on one occasion when it came round to rice time, when everybody had to ask for their own rice, except us apprentices. We got one automatically every 12 months. We got 4 shillings of rice. And the fitters and old journeymen had to approach Kennedy himself and request their rice. So on this occasion, I was working with him, and he said, sometime today on the works, he said, we'll pass the colonel. And I said, when we do, I'm going to ask him for rising wages. He said, you stand up straight and don't utter a word, don't speak, just stand up straight. And we approached Kennedy coming up. We were going down to the washer, and he was coming up past Rita Plate, up the incline, and we met him about halfway up. And the old Burns saluted him and requested permission to speak. Let him request permission to speak. And he said, yes, Burns, what do you want? What do you want to see me about? And he said, well, sir, I've been working for you for a number of years now without a rising wages. I feel I must ask you for a rise. He said, yes, tell me, Burns, why must you have a rise? So I showed him his old tattered waistcoat and what's it do. I can't afford decent clothing. And he said, I'm getting a few on wages, but can't afford clothing. And Kennedy flicked his link button off a beautiful Irish tweed jacket, threw it open, and he had a shirt with a patch stitched into the front. And I knew his shirt, but he had a patch of a slightly different glow it was. He said, Burns, if I can wear a patch shirt, so can you. We're dead, the young man. And that was his rise for that year. Yeah, he had this patch shirt, he was putting on at rice times. If he could draw you into talking about clothing, that was it, you were finished.
And he used to wear his special rough kit for just that occasion, did he?
It wasn't really that bad, but you could see a definite distinction in colours. His army shirt and then this patch about 9 or 10 inches square, stitched into the front.
At that sort of time, what sort of wages would a worker be getting there, or a trainer?
A top miner was getting about £2.5 a week. And I don't know what the fitters got, whether they might have got a shilling or two more.
That was the mid-30s?
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's all that remains of Kathleen Fitt.
The shaft itself?
Yeah, that was where the shaft was. There was a bit of concrete. That was the journey the incline went down. That was dug out after. But that was the incline that went down when Kennedy came up, and we went down with also.
At Cuffling Pit? No, was it Rita I'm thinking of? Yeah, Rita. Let's get back to Cuffling then. There is no visible engine house or engine bed or anything anymore.
That's all gone.
Yeah. Completely and utterly gone.
Yeah, that's about all there is to see.
Right.
The paint works is just up here from there, isn't it?
I don't know. I've never been out of the place to shaft up at Kathleen. What we have found near there is a funny little brick privy down the hollow. Do you recall that? Seems odd, all on its own.
Near Kathleen,
yeah.
There was a water source there for the locomotive, a brick, like it wasn't exactly a block, it was like a brick wall, and there was a tank on top of it, yeah. And the loco used to top up there. That was between Kathleen and the washer.
The washer? Was this at Rita, please?
Yes.
On the ground now, there's a very complex array of concrete plinths and pedestals.
Yes, that was the washing.
Right. Could you possibly describe the washing process to us?
Well, it went... They used to run the wagons into the topside.
Well, these have been the ore bogies that came up off the...
No, the locomotive used to shunt
so there were
railway wagons.
Full wagon, internal wagon loads.
Yeah. Right. And there was two old men used to manually shovel it out onto a conveyor belt. It went on this conveyor belt, up into two rotary screens with water washing in, and it was screened into grades. Then it passed down a trough into what was called some jigging boxes with eccentrics on in this business. And the idea was that the stone would stay on the top and the ore would stay on the bottom, so these lads used to just pick the stone up, throw it away. Then from there it went up some elevator buckets onto a drying platform, and the drying platform was on an angle and vibrating. And everything just slowly came down. That passed on to some a set of screens again with bends underneath, so that as the ore came down, different size holes in the different screens graded the amount of ore into each bin. It was sort of probably about 10 foot square, something like that. And there was another system there of grinding it down into powder, the Sunderland screen that was called. That had a supply of small grade ore, and after it was crushed, it went through this Sunderland screen and came out more or less like powder.
That
was for paint making.
This washing machinery, was it a development of, or was it still that Kennedy patent process?
No, I don't know what the original patent was, but it was all belt driven.
Did it look quite modern at the time?
It did in those days, yes.
Right. I see.
Probably wouldn't today, but in those days it seemed quite... It was adequate for what was wanted.
How many workmen, for example, would be employed on the washing plant?
Well, they were mostly lads. Schoolboys used to get in there with cheap labour. It was about three adults, and the rest were lads, about half a dozen lads.
Would that be a way of starting in the mining? They tend to go on underground, or was that just a job?
Some were chosen to go underground, but usually those that went underground had to work as top hands first, on the pit top, taking the bogies off the cage and dumping them into the wagons or down the waste tip. And when they, I suppose they became of a certain age and efficiency, and there was a vacancy down the pit, one of them would be chosen.
What were your impressions of underground?
Well, down Nigel pit, there was quite a lot of loose ground. And I remember on one occasion I went roaming round. I wasn't supposed to, but I used to nip through into where the working places were, into the foregrass. And I was there one day when these great timbers, the forks and head tree was the one across the top, and the toe forks. And all this timber was creaking and crackling, and occasionally you'd see a little bit, splinter would drop out and committed, dirt would come down. And I asked one of the miners there, I said, are we safe here with this? Because it was really creaking. And he said, oh, you're all right, lad, while there's noise. He said, if it stops creaking, he said, get out quick. Because what he contended was that it was bedding all the time. And once it stopped creaking, it had bedded its limit. And something had to go after that. Of course, what they used to do was re-timber frequently to keep it well supported.
And they were down, you were saying, about 800 feet?
Yes.
Below the surface, really.
Yeah. Maybe. Oh, anyway. That was the timber supply at Nigel.
That was brought in from Barrow, was it, from the ships? Was that brought in all
the ships? Some was, yes. And I think they got some from Upper Lake District as well. They were large pit props. Heavier stuff, I think, did come from abroad.
Looks quite a modern pit head, doesn't it, with the enclosed like that.
Yes, Nigel, is it?
Yes. Luckily they got a bit of a crushing plant up on the top and in the end of the building there. And that was about the time when I left when that was being installed.
What, a primary crusher?
Yeah, just a
sort of chaff from the good.
Yeah, breaking it down for suitable sizes.
That's interesting. Oh, I've never seen that before. I'm only questioning what margin is like at all.
No, there's nothing there now, just a hole in the ground with a filled up with broken concrete.
Yeah, big wagons as well, aren't they?
Yeah.
A bogey, they haven't such a word.
Those are railway, those are the main railway trucks being built there.
So that there was mainline stuff to the washing plant.
Yes. It's quite a modern hopper wagon being used there.
Oh yes, they had the metal hopper wagons as well as the wooden ones.
So Millam and Askham had a lot of those hopper wagons, didn't they?
Yes.
They seemed to have a lot of steel.
Oh, that's that one I was trying to find a very bit which looked similar to the one at Stamp.
Oh, what, the bunch of chaps?
Yeah. You can pick the Cornish ones out because they have the helmets with candles on top. Our miners just wore a cloth cap.
How did they support their light then?
Well, just used to carry one around and stick it on a bit block or anything.
Oh, I see.
Just get a handful of mud and stick it wherever you was convenient on the wall. Or
there's a lot of photos, aren't there, for that little bank.
Yeah. That was when Linda was working well away.
I believe I've seen that one before, but this one here, I'm just trying to orientate myself now. Would that be Lowfield chimney?
Yeah, I think so.
Oh, what a stomper that was. Okay, you know. Head and shoulders, if I'm not anything else.
I think the base shows that, though, doesn't it? The size of it.
Oh, yeah. Is that a postcard?
No, I don't need to go. Well, it might be. Wait a minute. Yeah, I think it is.
It sort of looks like it's been properly printed and stuff, doesn't it?
Yeah. I think it was, yeah.
What's this?
Oh, that's Burlington Pump, the end of the vein, down into the open ground.
Yeah.
What a fancy bulb, isn't it?
It's lovely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's lovely chimney base.
Yeah, we have photos that look like that too. Do you have any recollection of what this building was? Did you ever see it as a boy?
No, it was I lived in Dalton as a boy, you see, whenever he was to get up this end.
That's right.
And it would be about closing down then, when I was very young.
Yeah. And this engine house, of course, now is quite a superb private residence.
Yeah, but have you seen it? No, I haven't, not recently. Well, not since it was converted.
Right.
We've done a nice job on it, though.
Yeah, but maintained its character.
Definitely been destroyed.
Well, this is Bert Young's bumps being installed.
Right.
The electric pumps?
Yeah. Yeah, I believe they used to raise and lower them in accordance to the depth of water.
Oh, I see. A rise and fall pump sort of thing.
Yeah.
Just a surface measured pump. Look, the electric case, is it, Bill?
That is the
V30,
yeah.
That's diamond, is it?
Diamond. That's one of the Burke Young. There's two shops in Burke Young.
That was
Burke Young number one and two, yeah.
It's not Lowfield. It's got a square chimney, hasn't it?
Yeah. You just don't have money, I can't see it.
Oh, yeah, you're probably right, because that's the laundry, isn't it? Oh, it does it say Berkey in number one?
Yeah.
Where do these photos come from? Are they from that Harrison Ainslie document? Is that what they are?
Well, a friend of mine used to tour around all these old ladies that lived in Lindland. Used to borrow them and take copies of them.
Yes.
That's where I got mine from.
Who would that gentleman be?
I don't know whether he was moving out. I don't know whether he's actually gone yet. Can't just remember his name now.
I've been given someone's name with his groom name.
My memory's gone.
Isn't somebody who's going to move down south, is it?
No, no, he was getting a house built on Ireland.
Somebody's going there who's going to move south.
A lot of documents.
Well, you want to have a look at the pit top?
Did they ever overwhelm the pumps there when you were there? You know, have the flooding up? Or did the pumps...
No, only... once when Violet broke down, one of the rods broke, and it was out of commission for about between 2 and 3 weeks. They started to dip at Rita, put one of those dips on, and opened Kathleen pumps up again. Kathleen was closed down. They opened Kathleen up and dipped at Rita. And Nigel was pumping out all the time, they managed to keep it going that way.
So they didn't have to stop.
There was
working.
Never any big washout, no.
And the air at the bottom, was that always? Was it always? Did they pump air down there, or was it just natural?
No, it was
there.
You used to have an air shaft across the field, and they sunk a shaft there. And broke through into the roadways of the Nigel.
Yes.
So the air circulated through the pit that way. But Burton Pit, that was the only one in Furness I know of that it had an all metal structure. Well, it wasn't a wooden pit head gate, it was
a metal
all metal girders, yeah.
Oh, really?
I think they bought it from somewhere up in Cumberland. And Burton didn't have an air shaft. And there was one occasion when I went down to repair some air pipes that had been blasted out in one of the explosions. And when the miners showed me the part where it was damaged, so I set to work with the few fittings that they took down in a sack. And halfway through the job, I noticed the candles were starting to go out. They were getting less and less to was practically nothing, so I went through to where these miners were working, and I said, what's the position? I said, I can't keep a light down there where I'm working. And this old time, he said, I know what to do, I'll come with you. So he came back with me down to the shaft foot, and he pulled about 7 pulls on the pit bell. He said, you'll be all right now. They were using the cages as an air pump. The one coming down was pushing fresh air down, and
so
the upgoing one was taking bad air out. He said, leave it about 3 or 4 cages, then you'll be all right, you can carry on. And sure enough, after 3 or 4 cages up and down, the can was lit up again. It was bad air.
And why candles? Why not a settler?
I don't know. They always use candles, I don't know.
It's just a tradition that carried over,
yeah.
Is it?
Yeah. I don't know if they got them cheap. They used to get them in great boxes full of them.
I understand they used to be a candle factory and all this stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, like that would be where, yeah, where they would come from.
But all the other mines had air shafts to them.
Not all of them, but Billy Pit didn't. But we never seemed to be bothered with bad air down Billy Pit. Burton was the worst. I think what they were trying to do at Burton Pit, there was a lot of rock roads down there. They were trying to bore through to try and get to Woodhead. Woodhead collapsed in it in the years gone by. And it had only been working 12 years, it was still quite a rich pit. And I think the idea was to get through from Burton through to Woodhead and exploit that, but they never got there.
When you lived in Dalton, you had to work at Roadhead. Presumably it's the one you wait to work from Ellisdale.
Yeah.
So there. Do you recall anything up Ellisdale's way?
No.
Which isn't there now?
No, just bonds in North East.
No engine houses, no steel main or machinery, anything like that?
No, just broken ground and bonds.
Because there is an engine house up there, you probably know, don't you? On the top roundabouts.
I'm not familiar with that one.
On the Dalton to Aston Road, where the bypass now crosses it, that roundabout.
Yeah.
There's that.
To the barn.
Yeah, well, it's been used as a barn. This one here. Now, the bypass comes through there now, but this still stands.
Oh, I'm not familiar with that one.
That was Ellisdale's number 4 pit.
Yeah.
Engine house, that was. And it still stands, fortunately. Mm-hmm. Is there anything in your mining experience that enable you to have a guess at how it functioned? It's got a large slot in the gable end. Would you think winding ropes once?
Well, usually with winding ropes they had 2 square holes, didn't they? Top and bottom.
Yes, yes.
So that the one rope. Right. Never noticed any with a full slot in.
Does that make it look more like a pump rod coming through there?
I would think more likely than a winding engine.
Right.
So it looks as if there'd been a shaft there filled in.
Yes, and it was in the foreground in that shot.
Yeah.
There's no big masonry blocks inside, and I suppose the whole thing's a bit low down to be like a Cornish beam engine,
yeah,
type setup, isn't it?
Yeah.
I don't know. What's it looking like?
Is
No, the trouble is, the older you get, the worse the memory gets. I can think of a lot of things, but sometimes with age, you can think right back to when you were very young and everything's clear, and yet what happened last week? You know, can't remember what happened last week.
Yeah, I'll get that way too.
Because so this is, what, nearly 60 years ago, isn't it?
Yeah. I don't know if you're interested in the pumping volumes.
What's that?
The water out of the furnace mines. I've got a paper showing the 112. These are the pumping volumes per day in the furnace mines.
Oh, so the discharge rates?
Yes.
Oh, right.
The open dicky tanks would mine 3.5 million gallons right down. Lindell was the 11 million gallons per day coming out of Lindell when they were fully working. The other side, 2.75. Ronhead, 2 million. The Barf Mines, 2 million. I mean, a lot of water in a day to come out as well. Mm-hmm. That water's still there, as far as I'm concerned.
Is this something you've prepared?
Yeah, I wrote my ideas of it. Well, a lot of it's probably of no interest to people. It's made the people that work there and the same as the winding engine drivers at Nigel Pit, Donny Backhouse, Jim Butcher, Tom Brown, and Alf Morris, Alf Mossop Standby, Locksmiths, Towers Atkinson, Boss, Walter Bunting, Chris Parkinson, Tommy Burns. And these are the fitting shop. Chef Rigg was the boss, old Jockey Burns, Billy Braithwaite, Billy Goodson, Tom Lewis, they're all dead now. Arthur Lewis. There's only about Derek Burns still alive, as far as I know.
Quite a valuable record, that thing, because those are the sort of things that disappear after.
Every time I could think of something, I wrote it down, and then eventually I got it printed out.
Because those sort of things disappear as men die.
Yeah, old Jim Jackson, the old South African test cricketer. He was the storekeeper in the engineer's store. He was 80 when he was still working there.
Was he?
He came over here as a South African test cricketer. Mm-hmm. Well, he got the worst for wear with drink. So Kennedy employed him as a storekeeper.
What else is this is here? It's an awful lot of...
Oh, it's
working
all day. There's all
sorts. Is it just people or is it technical?
No, it's some of it's my own experiences. Methods of payment and that sort of thing. I've got the one about the yard side slip when a man was entombed for 7 days, you remember? Anything about that?
That's all of it, yes.
Smiler Park.
Is it?
He was entombed for 7 days, and when they got him out, he was in a terrible state, physically and mentally. They took him home, gave him a good wash, and next day he was back at work. And he requested permission to see the manager. And when he got in, he said, what do you want to see me about? He said, can something be done about my compensation? He said, good God, man, what do you want compensation for? Don't you know what it costs to dig you out? He said, you consider yourself lucky we took the trouble to dig you out. He said, well, fairly enough, what about my lying down while I was in the pit? He said, you did no work? He sat with your back up against the pit rock for 7 days. He said, no, what paid you for that? So I got nothing. He trapped for 7 days. He was a physical wreck, and that's what he got out of it.
Yes. They were carried days, aren't they?
Yeah.
can we expect to see this thing published? Does this work?
Pardon? No, I did try to get it published, but two or three different firms said they would do it for £1,000, and I sent it to the that one at Lancaster, and they kept it for a fortnight, and then they sent word back, no, they were sorry, they decided not to use it in their editions, so I gave up after that. Some of it has been published in Jim Walton's, you see, Jim Walton's book.
Yes, I have, yeah.
Some of my stories are in there. He asked me if would I mind if he published.
Right.
So part of it's in Jim Walton's book, but the rest of it here.
It would be a cheeky question to ask if one could acquire a photocopy of your analysis.
Of this? Yeah. Yes, you could do that. The biggest job would be all the pages are numbered.
We have a library, you see, in our society. I'm actually a librarian.
Yeah.
I just wondered if we may deposit a copy of that in for reference material.
A little bit of it is what I got myself from the library. Some of the ancient stuff.
Yes.
Going back, right back to the Furnace Abbey practically. And I don't know whether it would be authorised in using that, but they reckon after 50 years the copyright's dead, isn't it?
Right,
so they probably couldn't complain about it. There's a few pages of
it's
it.
It's a private library anyway.
Yeah.
It's our, you know, it's a society library.
Yeah.
For members. And I don't think taking information into your own work is copyright, isn't it?
No.
You like to take small.
I often wondered whether it was rejected on the grounds that it was a bit militant when I quoted the hazardous conditions of workers' rights and that sort of thing.
I don't think so. Yeah, interesting reading, wouldn't it?
Mm. Yeah, I pointed out in there that on one occasion some miners were going on the afternoon shift, and as they got at the pit head, four men got in one cage, and they were carrying a big Stilson wrench, a pipe wrench, with them. And on the way down the shaft, this miner let it slip, and it slithered through the side of the cage, down the shaft, into the sump at the bottom of the pit, because there was no chance of retrieving that. So they had to report it, and the pit boss, mine captain of that shift, he notified Charlie Severs, the manager, and Charlie Severs told Kennedy about it, and Kennedy just laughed. He said, there's no problem there. He said, they've lost the Stilson wrench. He said, supply them with another one. We'll take it out of the wages on Friday. So they got another wrench, but they paid for it. That was part of the system, that time. Well, did you want to see that bit top thing?
Yes, please. About that, yeah.
You'll have to climb over my exercise bag. Is what it is.
Oh, do you mind if I take a picture of it?
No, you're all right. It is me. It'll be a flash of it.
Yeah.
Because it's not only got one bag.
Oh, this is a secret room, is it?
A secret escape.
A closet miner. Gosh, hey, this isn't
it's
nice,
very
it?
Impressive indeed.
Yeah.
You can climb over this.
It's a priest hole.
That's a superb system, actually, to get up into a loft.
Brilliant, isn't it?
Clever.
We're up at the 50 fathom level now. Oh gosh. Gosh, I say. Wow. Is this loosely based on Nigel?
Well,
what do you think?
It's not totally. I don't want to do aspects of different bits, little bits that are remembered, and put them all into one. Because there was no scale drawings, so what I had to do was do it as near as I could to 1 in 12. So I made these little picks and spades.
Oh, lovely, they are.
And used them as an example of the scale. And this would be about 30 feet high.
Right.
Of course, the gantry is cut off short because it was limited to space.
Yes. Superb. How do you make these little shovels? Can I pick one up?
Yeah, certainly.
I was impressed with this. It was useful. Yeah. Useful one with making skill there.
I made these cages so they'll operate. I've no winding engine, so I just...
Man engine.
Oh, I see.
Come
was
off
it?
Come off.
There's underground workings too.
Yeah, I never got that finished because.
I deal with this end. I think it's quite a stretch, that isn't it?
Yeah. So that would be the bottom of the shaft.
Yeah.
Coming up. The top hand would have to operate this lever as it came up. These are a bit sticky now.
Right.
Then it dropped back onto the bearers.
So how does this operate? This does what?
There's two little forks underneath.
Right, I see. And is that how it would be at a proper pit top? That sort of...
Yeah, I can never really remember. I've watched them doing it to Nigel, but I never got on the pit top when they were actually operating the lever, so I don't know what the exact linkage was. This was the galley board. As each bogey came up, you can see it better than
that. Oh, this, right.
There was a set of little pigeonholes. And as each bogey came up, there was a wooden tally in it, and the top hand used to have to put it in the appropriate box. Then they were counted up at the end of the shift, the number of bogeys from each company.
Right.
There used to be, what, 4 men to a company in a bit, and each had its own tally number.
So at the end of the day, each company would have 10 or 20 bits of wood in their pigeonhole.
Yeah.
So. Right.
Uh-huh. It's a mess
over here.
Strike
it. You know those things we saw in...
Oh yeah, I saw one down there as well, yeah, for ting-ting. Yeah.
Just hammer on three plates up, there's a loose plate in the middle. And when you pulled it up, the hammer came up, hit the middle plate, knocked it up and hit the top plate, and then back onto the hammer and...
Right.
I don't know if I didn't get any.
Yeah. Ooh, strafe.
Oh,
sorry. What's that?
That's loose.
Yes.
It's just a cover over the cable.
Look at this action work.
You sound too healthy, don't it?
Yeah. Not making a squeak. I'll have to go down and get another battery. I've got some in my bag.
Right.
I'll just go and get one.
Find that bike when you get down there.
Yep.
a good idea.
Would you have expected in a cage on the...
Four,
sir.
Yeah, don't reach it out.
Yeah. Can you manage there?
Oh, yes. Trippy. I think it must have run out of film. Yeah, must be. Must have been the last one, that. Right.
Stole
that one. I got one.
This is a thing most of the world have done
behind. Oh, what's this? A bull?
A bull head.
Right, I've heard of these.
It's the pin.
So, what's
that? We used to get a piece of rectangular bar about, roughly about a foot long, drill a hole about an inch from the end,
mm-hmm.
or a bit more, and then take it to blacksmiths, and they used to draw it out under the steam hammer. This would be all one piece.
Mm-hmm.
And then when they were in this semi-soft iron, like it was where they didn't have to drill, where they used to use this, used to drive it in, somebody would hit it with a hammer and somebody would turn it. Then just put a light charge in.
Oh, I see, that was preparatory to firing.
Yeah, instead of drilling.
Right, I see. And when it was drawn out, what sort of length was it overall? 3 foot?
Yeah, four? Three to 4 foot.
Right.
So they drill a pattern of those instead of drilling?
Yeah.
The pattern, so presumably because it was a lot quicker.
Yeah.
That way. And they'd fire off many holes at once then, would they, or just...
Yes, it would do.
Bring down a whole face?
Yeah.
With 10 shots,
they used to do a pattern, so many at the top, so many in the middle, and then at the bottom.
Right.
So they've got an archway tunnel through.
I see. Oh, really, it's a lovely job, Mr. Clark. It's beautiful, that. Very impressive.
It's a lot of work, isn't it?
I'm saying I wouldn't like to do it again.
I wouldn't like to do it at all, I don't think. It's just the time. But I suppose it doesn't feel like that when you start, does it?
No. I was more pain in the rug there.
Cages appear to have hinged tops.
Yeah, they used to lift those up to put bed props in.
Right, so to give a greater
length. Drop them down the shop.
I'm with you.
And how many people would be at the pit top? Usually, when they were falling, you know, all was being falling.
Probably about three or four. Then there was the, what they call the metal pickers, they were the lads in the wagon underneath. They used to get in the wagon, and as a bogey war came down, they had to throw out the scrap, the waste.
Right. Would that then go, if only it was there, would that then go direct to the sidings, or would it go to the washer?
Some went direct to Barrow Ironworks and some went to the washer.
Right.